When I was growing up in Los Angeles, I was in a school with so many other kids. They had the homerooms arranged by the letters of the alphabet, and I was in the WXYZ classroom. That was it. You know, all my friends had either W, Y, or Z in their last name. I had a whole row of Z's. Zippy, Zinko, Zizmeister, Ziskin, Zitzelmeister, Zer, you know, that. Anyway, in the row in front was this gentleman called Woods, Michael Woods. He was a good friend of mine. He was Jewish, and we became very good friends. All my friends were Jewish at one point. I'm surprised I didn't convert. But he invited me over to his family's home for Passover, which was very an authentic Passover. They were Reformed Jews, and I was the Gentile that asked the question in that ritual, and I went to his bar mitzvah and didn't know what it was at the time. Very, very interesting stuff. And we get into these theological debates. I was thinking about this because this is a theological debate that Jesus enters into between the Sadducees and the Pharisees about the resurrection of the dead. And so I was one day, he and I were kind of sparring because he was in Torah school or whatever they called it. He was learning to write Hebrew from right to left. I couldn't believe this, how he was learning this language, and I was in, you know, CCD. And so we both thought we knew a lot. And I was debating with him about Christianity versus Judaism in a friendly way. And I said to him at one point, well, we'll have to wait till after death to settle some of these issues. I was 14 at the time. And he said to me, well, if I'm correct, you'll never know. I didn't care for that argument. Well, I have since seen him in Israel. They live on the West Bank, and he's an Hasidic Jew. I have a lot of admiration for him for following his convictions. And I became a priest and moved to Oregon, so we kind of have that in common. But we know not what not to talk about when I see him. And I love getting emails from him. He has 10 kids, and as they get married, they know how to put on a wedding reception. I'll tell you, they have a great time at those wedding receptions, the Hasidic Jews that his family. This question, though, you know, there were all these different groups in Israel. The Essenes are not mentioned, but we think probably John the Baptist was associated with them out near the Dead Sea. They didn't seem to have any beef with Jesus, so they don't show up in the Gospels. But they would have been familiar to anyone of that time. Then you had the Zealots. Simon was a Zealot. They are the ones that were chiefly responsible for the Jewish war in instigating that and the destruction of the nation about 40 years after Jesus died. You had the Pharisees, which were the local clergy that would work with the people in the local synagogues. And they... just the local pastors, you might call them. And then you had the Sadducees, which at the time of Christ had all the power. They collaborated with the Romans, and so therefore they had the temple, they had the worship, they got the tithes, they had money, power, prestige. Life was very good to them. They weren't a very large group. As a group, they didn't believe in anything but the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. The prophets were not on their list, probably because the prophets would have condemned them. But they only had that. The Pharisees had the prophets. Remember, the Jewish Bible wasn't put together either until a couple hundred years after Christ died, officially. So you had some of these differences. When Jesus is invited into this argument, he can only use the Torah to argue for the resurrection of the dead. None of the other books are on the table because the Sadducees won't hear of it, you know. And they're sure that they're right. And they come up with this ridiculous argument, which comes right from the Jewish law, that the brother is required by the Jewish law, if he's not already married, to take the wife of the widow of his brother. So this woman has all these different relatives. And it is kind of an interesting question. If you've been married before, you're a widow or widower or divorced, and we all die and go to heaven, and everybody's at a banquet table, and here y'all are, oh, hi, honey, meet my wife. I had, you know, there's four of them sitting there. So it's, but we're thinking in human earthly terms. And Jesus invites us to put on a different way of looking at things. I love reading the Jerusalem Bible. There's a line there that after this, he says in that translation to them, you are very much mistaken. And they simply aren't seeing things correctly. He says, the Lord God is not the God of the dead. If Abraham is dead, he's not God, because you can't be God of a dead person. Abraham is alive. This argument threw them off completely because they weren't thinking Jesus, the author of the Torah, is speaking to them, and they don't recognize him. Amazing. So in this gospel, we learn a lot about the world to come, that this is an age, and there is a coming age, and we are all aspiring to it. Faith is the key. And notice how Jesus says here, the children of this age marry and remarry. The children of the next age do not. My vocation is not married. It's meant to be a prophetic sign. Jesus invites in the New Testament those who feel called to be single for the Lord as a prophetic witness. He says only if you're called to it, only if you can. But that's the idea. But in the world to come, we will no longer be married because we cannot die. And we are like the angels. Think about for a moment what that means, the characteristics of an angel. Most of us have never seen one, but from the Bible we understand some of the attributes of angels, of having great knowledge, of being able to move at will because they're outside of space and time, of always having the vision of God, of doing perfectly the will of God, of being beautiful in and of themselves because they are fully reflecting the glory of God, whereas we are mirrors that need cleaning constantly. That's what earth is. We're constantly, you know, being purified by our lives and our sufferings of Christ and the things that God is our mission in life. And so we have all of this. We will be like the angels and can no longer die. And we are called children of God. You know, St. Paul said, no angel has ever been called a child of God. When we die, we're remembering our dead this month, you know, in November. And when we die and we see the Trinity, the second person of the Trinity through whom all things were created, angels, humans, and God knows what else is out there, is a human being, a glorified God who is man. And if we are children of God, we do not know what that means, but it is something greater than the angels. So there's a great mystery here. This life is a preparation for that. We are already in eternity. It's a question of where we're going in eternity and what place we will have there. And all of this is being decided now through our faith. And you have this wonderful line here. Those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and the resurrection of the dead. It's not an automatic entry. Everybody gets in. We come in through Jesus. He's the door. Whether we knew him or not, he's all that there is. People are judged based on how much they knew. You know, some people never knew Jesus. It's not their fault. But it's his blood that makes us worthy. We're washed in the blood of the Lamb. No life is ever worthy enough to enter heaven. It's not our nature. Our nature is earthly. We are human. We're mortal. To put on immortality is to be like God. And that's a gift only he can give. And so knowing all of this, I think we can get very depressed with listening to the evening news, or it's been raining a lot this year. You know, we've had kind of a tough fall. Not in France. I just have to throw that in. But it rained there too, actually. But you know, when it's rained a lot, or we get down because we've lost somebody, or life is tough, or we can't seem to overcome something in our lives that we're striving, you know, that this is the future, that we are in there's such wonderful things coming and such mysteries. The mystery of marriage, we had a wedding yesterday, as a matter of fact, here at 2 o'clock. And the mystery, you know, the line in there is till death do us part, that while marriage as we know it is finished at the end of our lives, yet we never stop knowing or loving this person. It probably gets deeper. It's just that we don't understand the nature of the next world. However, our Lord makes it very clear, the best image of heaven is a wedding banquet. So a wedding banquet in which nobody's married any longer. How about that we can't get a handle on it. Part of this, on earth, we're not given to know everything, only what we need. And so it's very important we come to church on Sunday to get insight. Many people think they know what they're doing in life, and they've never listened to the scriptures. They don't listen to the church. They don't know anything because the author of life is right here telling us what the world of the future is like, and therefore how we are to live now, what lives we should be living while we're waiting for this great day of our salvation. You know, we're a little outpost of the kingdom of God within us. It certainly isn't on the outside from looks of things mm-hmm. around me. So we ask the Lord to give us wisdom and insight that in all things, Lord is dealing with one of the great tragedies of life, to lose a spouse. And to this story, as ridiculous as it is, it resonates with us of the world. We're not in heaven yet. We're striving to enter in. And life is about choices. Choices for God. It's a daily choice. Faith is a daily choice. You know, and our Lord gives us great hope in this reading. So we just pray as we approach the end of the liturgical year here in 2 weeks and the great solemnity of Christ the King and Advent preparing for Christmas, we ask the Lord to continue to make known to us little by little the great role that he's given us in this world, that we may cooperate with his grace and be true outposts of the kingdom of God while we wait for his coming.